Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker show on campusisradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 22nd of September. You are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin with a new hairdo.
Well, I've been flowing code, Paul Andrews.
Have you?
Yes.
Have and you indeed?
Mariano and team send their love.
Hello, Mariano.
Yes, and
the geezer that you was doing your hair in
geezer?
The in the picture that you were sitting
geezer?
At.
Geezer.
He looked like
what century are you from?
He looked like a blacksmith. I thought he was reshoeing you. He had a big leather apron on and stuff.
You're saying I've got hooves?
I'm not saying anything.
You're
I'm
saying just, I've got big horsey
I'm
teeth.
I'm just saying I saw the picture and my first reaction was, oh, Jules is being rehooved.
Well, I tell you, Paul Andrews, you're you're quite spooky, really spooky, darling, aren't you? Sometimes
I'm spooky, am I?
Yeah. Yeah, you're spooky.
I'm a spooky.
Because,
spooky.
As a matter of fact, you're a bit like a clairvoyant or a witch. Or
Claire
something.
Who?
Don't you know her?
No, I never met her.
Lives in
what's she like?
Round on the marsh.
Is she all right?
Yeah, she's all right.
Hello, Claire.
She can see
Miss
through you.
Miss Boyant?
She can see through you, you know.
Can she?
Yeah. I'm just thinking, you know my Wits of a Woman in Custard shortage foray many moons ago, 2009, and that story is still haunting me. They did some, I'm just trying to think, Paul, John Nurden would know, but they did something, clairvoyance show in Margate, cancelled due to unforeseen circumstances,
something like that.
But no, actually you are a bit spooky because it was John, the lovely John, and he was an electrician.
Was he really?
Yeah. And, you know, I don't look like I've had an electric shock or anything, do I?
Well, that's debatable.
Well, but I did try and get him round because I've had a problem with one of my lights. So I said, you know, after the blow dry, would you pop round and look at my ceiling? My ceiling light, I have terrible trouble with it.
I'm not getting dragged into that conversation. There's all kinds of double entendres that could go on there.
Yeah, it's just the way you say it. But look what I did. You know this awful weather we've been having, listener, this monsoon. I mean, it's just rained, hasn't it, in Kent, where we are. If you're listening in Maryland or USA, wherever.
Or Turkey.
Or anywhere, it's probably lovely. But I was, you know this monsoon we've had this morning?
Absolutely, yeah.
Not only is my flat roof, what's just been done, only 6 months, leaking again.
Right.
And it leaked last week and they promised it was done.
Right.
And it's leaking again. I've got buckets everywhere.
Right.
But in this morning, before Business Bunker, before hairdo, what did I do for you, Paul Andrews?
I have no idea. What did you do for me?
Got out a little ladder, went out in my little Wellington boots and my pyjamas.
And pick me a pear.
Pick you two pears from my tree in my garden.
Two pears. I tell you,
I took my life in my hands for that.
Just for one cheap joke?
Well, no. Because you were so delighted last week when I...
That's a lovely pear, Jules. Thank you. A pair of pears.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for that.
I know that last week you were very... Because you said they were 50p or something.
Yeah.
This is a man that drives a Porsche and a Mercedes when he... You know, one day of the week he decides the Mercedes, another day he says, might take the Porsche out. But he won't pay 50p for an apple.
Overpriced, isn't it? Anyway,
who might our sponsor be?
Today's show sponsors are the lovely
people from Offex.
That's Order Fulfillment Experts, and you can find them on orderfulfillmentexperts.co.uk, and you can follow them on the Twitter at Offex, O-F-E-X underscore UK, Offex underscore UK. So do give them a follow on the Twitter, do look at their website, and a massive, massive thank you to Sam and the team from orderfulfillmentexperts.co.uk for sponsoring today's show. Well, we're really pleased and proud to have you supporting us. And thank you very much indeed.
I would also like to say a big thank you to Mariana because he was really lovely and he said, Jules, would you like your hair done pre-Business Bunker? And I was looking a bit doggy. You'd obviously seen a few pictures of me looking like some. I looked like some sort of faded red setter. So he'd obviously seen it, pursed his lips. So thank you, Mariano and team at Flow & Co. They are in the Horsebridge Whitstable.
You've just drawn a comparison between you and a dog.
Although, of course...
It was you that did that, not me. I just want to make that clear.
Yeah, but I actually like dogs.
I'm sure you do, don't we all?
I mean, I'd rather be a dog than a rat, wouldn't you?
Heel. Sit.
I didn't say I was a well-behaved dog, did
Roll
I?
Over. Play dead.
No. I didn't say I was a well-dog. Mind you, give me a biscuit. If it's a
and you're anyone's. A bonio and she's anyone's.
Which reminds me, my husband and I were having a row last night. He's not very well. He's a bit chesty and he's a bit ratty. And he's one of those people, Linda, you might know about these kind of people, who there were some lovely cakes, gluten-free cakes on the top. I'd already snaffled two. They were, little almond things, what do you call them? with jam in. What they call those almond jam cakes?
What, you mean like Bakewell slices?
Yeah, Bakewell slices. Yeah, so there was a pack of five. I'd already snaffled two while I did the roast chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
And then afterwards I said, look, would you like some, you know, apple, baked apple slice, whatever they're called, almond slice with some custard? And he just broke off like a corner. And that's all he had, and that really annoyed me. It annoyed me so much I had another slice.
You had to eat the rest of it, yeah, yeah.
Who are these people? Just have a little corner of something. Is it, oh, that's all they want? Who are they?
He's your husband. I'll introduce you next time you're together in the same room.
And who are these people that say, oh, I forgot to eat? I forgot to eat? Who are they?
I don't know, Jules. I don't know where you've been hanging out.
But it annoyed me anyway.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, listen, enough of all that nonsense. We'd like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. And you can get in touch with us in all normal ways. You can call us on 01 303 874 998.
Yes.
That's 01 303 874 998. Or you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to get hold of us and to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. And we have had a few dozen tweets already, and we will be reading some of them out shortly. In fact, Jules, I'm going to start with one now.
Okay, good.
I'm going to start with this. Hold on, let me get it up.
So to speak.
Project Boob.
Oh dear.
Project Boob.
Right.
Yeah. 29th of October. If any businesses would like to sponsor a pair of boobs,
oh my
please
goodness.
Contact Becky@salesfriend.co.uk #ProjectBoob. Now, Project Boob is a charitable fundraiser that they're doing for breast cancer awareness.
Okay.
I was made aware of it by the lovely folks, the lovely Michelle at Dotty Diva, number 25, which is the paint and design store in Tenterton High Street. And I believe the Woolpack are also involved in this, which is the pub in Tenterton High Street. Project Boob, 29th of October. If you'd like to get involved, please do. You can follow them on the Twitter at @project_boob. Do have a look at that. Do find out about it. Do support it. It's a fabulous project and it's going to be lots of fun. So there
Project
you go.
Boob. So I wonder what they're going to get you to dress up as then.
No, nothing. It seems to involve painting boobs. Look.
Oh, gosh, it does.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to have a
perhaps
stream.
Perhaps you could send them a pair.
Yeah, they're going to have a stream of men going along, aren't they?
Well, they're going to get a lot of sponsorship for that, I would imagine.
So this is the 29th of October, so there's a nice long run-in for that.
Yeah.
Tenterton businesses would like to sponsor a pair of boobs. Becky@salesfriend.co.uk, #ProjectBoob. Well, it doesn't really have to be just a Tenterton business, does it? Do you know why we're coughing?
No, why?
Because I am as well. It's the bits in the bottom. I'll tell you, you need to descale the kettle. It's bits in the bottom of the kettle. Gets me every week.
Is that right?
Yeah, have a pair. You'll be much better.
Thank you. Right. So do follow those guys and do help and support what is a wonderful charity, breast cancer. We've also had a tweet from Runaround Rascals.
Oh, nice.
Who are a new listener. And they say, VanillaWeb, we're seeking franchisees to join us. Work around your family, be your own boss. It's children's soft play areas. So you can follow them on Runaround Rascal on the Twitter. So give them a follow.
We should play Runaround Sue now.
Yeah. We've got an email about this later with some more detail, but I'm just going to mention it. Kent Coast Theatre. They're doing loads of things. Do give them a follow. It's KCT 2015 on the Twitter. We've got some more details to read out about what they are after later on in the show, and we will do that. But as they just tweeted, I thought I'd give it a mention.
We've had a tweet in from @Riverford_Kent. That's the organic sisters, Caroline and Liz. And they say, hello, Paul Andrews.
Hello.
Hello, Jules Serkin. Hello, Linda Garcia. Hello, Bunker listeners. Just a quick reminder that we do deliver organic preserves, pantry goods, fruit, veg, even Prosecco, as Lisa Marie just had a little carton delivered of Prosecco for her dad's launch, all through Kent, to Kent work offices and also to your home. So that's Riverford_Kent. Give them a tinkle and have a look at their boxes.
We had a tweet from Martin Paul White, on the Twitter who says, Jules Serkin, Aluxy Consultants, Vanillaware, Business Bunker. Hi, Linda, Paul, Jules. Hope you have a good show today. All the best, Martin. So thank you for that, Martin.
Well, thank you. Because he was on the show, was it last week or the week before?
A couple of weeks ago,
I lost track. But he was on and he was very good.
Absolutely. Hey, how about this for a tweet?
How about this?
How about this? The Grove Tavern in Tunbridge Wells.
You're very perky today. What have you been up to?
No, I'm perky. I'll tell you later. How about this? Grove Tavern.
Yeah, where are they?
They're a pub in Tunbridge Wells.
Right.
Right, they're a pub.
There's a pub theme going on.
No, just let me finish. Right. Let me get a word out.
Yeah.
They also fix computers.
Really?
Yeah.
So you can go in, have a barrel.
And give me your laptop and go fix that while I'm having a couple of pints and some port scratchings.
I say.
Well, we mustn't mention port scratchings today, must we?
Why not? What happens?
Apparently the Prime Minister gets upset.
Oh, dear. Oh, that was unfortunate, wasn't it?
Yeah, anyway.
But I loved his, you know, when they were talking about him smoking marijuana, I loved his thing when he said, his comment was, I did all the things that normal students do, sort of thing. It was really very tactful, I thought. But do you really think that's true, then?
No, I don't. Anyway, come back to this.
His Member of Parliament into a pig's head.
Grove Tavern. Always up for some business socialising and for winding down afterwards. Can also sort out most of your computer troubles too.
That's amazing.
Brilliant, isn't it?
What if they do Mac?
Isn't that brilliant?
That is.
Yeah. So Grove Tavern in Tunbridge Wells, do check them out and do get your computer fixed while you're having a pint.
Well, it reminds me, do you remember a while back we had that lovely man on who had a pub in...
The Freewheeler.
Sea Salter. Yeah, who was playing about with doing up bikes and all sorts of things there.
Yeah, it's a cycling pub.
Yeah, I like pubs that do
things. Yeah, but good things, not just, you know, suits of armour and the old stuff they used to do years ago.
What, like little make you sit outside, make your kids sit outside in the car and with a bag of crisps and a Pepsi.
No, but once upon a time there were these plastic pub themes where they had, you know, a whole chain of pubs that pretended to be medieval with plastic suits of armour and stuff
like
that.
Must have been a long time ago.
Yeah. These are real. These are just one-off individual pubs with an individual specialisation.
Yeah.
Like the Freewheeler pub is a cycling pub on a cycle path.
I love that idea. I'm still going to go around.
And I like the idea of getting your computer fixed in the pub as well.
Yeah. As long as it's not a big one like this, you'd have to wheel it in, wouldn't you?
Quite possibly.
You've got a Big Mac.
Quite possibly.
Very good. Of course, the drunker you get, the more they can put the price up, can't they? Because you go, that's fine.
They wouldn't do that,
would
they?
You'd just go, fix it, whatever.
Yeah.
Keep topping you
up. Bested Farmers Market. Market day this Sunday.
Lovely.
Jules and Vanilla Web, they say.
Yeah, we must go.
Big shout out. Bested Farmers Market. And also, The Front HB is their Twitter handle. And they say, Vanilla Web, hello, from Kent's newest venue. onthefront.co.uk. It's a bar at Herne Bay.
Oh, really? Yeah, this is a new one.
It's a new one.
I'm going to nip in.
Absolutely. So they've asked for a shout-out.
It must be On the Front.
I tell you what, have a shout-out. Yeah. The Front.
Yeah.
The Front HB is their Twitter handle. Their website is onthefront.co.uk.
So there's a whole theme going on here, listener. So there's pears, there's fronts, there's boob writing, there's pubs, there's upfront, and all sorts going on.
Southeast Business Show. Hi, Vanilla Web. This Friday, there's a free exhibition and free seminars and free networking and free entry and free parking at the B2B Southeast Show. You can find out all about it by going to the website b2bsoutheast.com. I'll be there.
You will be.
I will be there. There's over 100 exhibitors, 4 seminars, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
What's the date again?
This Friday, the 25th of September, at the Effingham Park Hotel.
Are you speaking?
Cotthorne. No.
You're just swanning, are you?
I'm just swanning around.
Okay. I remember the last time when we did a B2B and you left me all day on the stand doing all the work while you swanned. I saw you at one stage sitting with a young lady buying her wine. Didn't work though, did it?
It may have done.
Maybe that's why you've got a spring in your step today. We don't know.
Oh, no.
All right. You do look quite perky today.
Thank you. Pinky.
That's been said.
Legacy Conference, Legacy Conference. Hi, Vanilla Web and Jules Serkin. Please, can you mention this powerful 2-day conference for women in biz? And it's on the 24th and the 25th of October. and they say thank you. I'm more than happy to mention that. There is some details actually about that on the Kent Business Radio website.
There are.
Under the FSB events page. But if you want to find out more, I suggest you give Legacy Conference a follow and find out all the details of the Women in Business Conference on the 24th and 25th of October. And you can follow them on the Twitter at Legacy_CONF. Legacy_CONF.
And there's a playtime on September the 20th, and it's at Adventure Kids, spelled KIDZ. And they say, hello all, playtime, Sunday the 20th, is 10:30 to 12:30. Deaf children are free. Siblings are £2. Friends and non-members, normal rates on the doors. And this is from Kim and family, Johan as well, Johan Borman. And I'm just going to read out the website for the Kent Deaf Children's Society, which I always pronounce wrong and Paul Andrews gets very uppity. But I would say at 3ws.kdcs.org. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember once I didn't say it right.
Yeah, you got it in the wrong order. It's the Kent Deaf Children's Society. That's why it's KDCS.
I think I said once SORG and it annoyed you.
Yeah.
So
KDCS.org.
They also have a Facebook, Paul Andrews, which is facebook.com/kdcs.org. And their Twitter is KDCS for sugar 1. There is a phone number, which I'm going to read out. It's 07557334347. And again, that playtime is Sunday the 20th of September at Adventure Kids. I guess that's a venue. Mm-hmm. And it's 10:30 to 12:30. And deaf children do go in that for free.
Fantastic. I mentioned earlier when they tweeted that I was going to tell you a bit more. Hey, can I get a shout out for KCT2015 on the Twitter? We still have a few spaces left for our acting workshops at Whitstable Castle from the 28th of September. So that's Kent Coast Theatre doing acting workshops on the 28th or from the 28th of September. And you can find out more about it by following them on the Twitter at KCT2015. KCT2015. Do give them a follow and find out about acting workshops at Whitstable Castle, which is a lovely venue too.
I'm getting very excited about speaking to Linda Garcia because she's got a beautiful, beautiful website I'm looking at, and her card and her logo is a beautiful blue shell.
It is indeed.
Very, very nice. It's probably not just blue, is it? It's
aquamarine. A Luxi blue.
It's beautiful.
It's absolutely a Luxi blue. Everyone yes. knew that except for you, Jill.
Designed especially for me.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Matching my phone case. Phone
absolutely. Coming. Do you know what we're going to do now? We're
going
to play. No. There
no music
did,
at all.
Did I explain all this earlier or
oh,
not?
Yeah,
you weren't listening, were you?
No, I got bored halfway through.
You got bored after the first word I said. Yeah, no, I know. No, I'm going to play some interviews.
Oh,
couple of interviews I did with winners from the Seven Oaks Business Awards from
lovely.
The week before last. So have a quick listen to this.
Listen out, listener.
Yeah.
This is Paul Andrews reporting for the Business Bunker Show at the Seven Oaks Business Awards 2015. And I've just bumped into a young lady that won an award recently. Hello, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Alison Stanley. I am the co-founder of Seven Oaks Mums.
Seven Oaks Mums. I've met you before.
Yes, you
I
have.
I met you at Squarey's.
You have, yes.
I did.
We do get around us, Seven Oaks Mums.
You do. Alison, tell us about Seven Oaks Mums and what you do and what your business is about.
So we are a local website, which is the gateway to the family market. We can tell you everything that's happening on and around Seven Oaks. We also have the Love Local Life card, which is the rewards card for Seven Oaks. So if you want to shop locally and support local businesses whilst getting a discount, come to us.
Fantastic. And what award did you win tonight?
We won the Home Enterprise Award. We're really pleased about that.
So a home-based business.
Yes.
And so many businesses start at home. I started my own business at home many years ago. Great place to start work. And a prestigious award to win. Many congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I'll tell you what, if people want to find out more about Seven Oaks Mums, how can we do that? Can we follow you on Twitter?
Of course you can. It's at Seven Oaks Mums. You can come to our website, www.sevenoaksmums.com, or come and find us on Facebook, Seven Oaks Mums business page, or the Seven Oaks Mums Network, which is for all the local mums. Come along and find us in a family-based network.
Fantastic.
And a new part of our business is One in the Oven Club, our antenatal and postnatal classes, run by Kelly Ensworth, who's the founder of Modern Mamas. Here's Kelly to talk about it.
Fantastic, thank you. Hello, Kelly.
Hello.
You've got one in the oven.
I have got one in the oven, due in December.
Is it your first?
Second.
Second.
Yep.
Blimey. And it's due in?
December.
December?
Yep.
Soon?
24th.
Oh, wow. Yeah, saves on the presents.
Doesn't it?
So tell us a little bit about this new thing.
So One in the Oven Club is a new antenatal course for local mums in Sevenoaks. We do antenatal and postnatal seminars. So come along and learn something about pregnancy, make some new friends. And we offer parenting and lots of support for our local mums.
Fabulous. And is there a way we can get hold of you or your part of this business?
You can at www.oneintheovenclub.com. We're on Twitter, One Oven One.
Fantastic. Ladies, thank you so much. Many congratulations on your award win. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you very much.
This is Paul Andrews reporting for the Business Bunker Show at the Seven Oaks Business Awards 2015. And I've just bumped into a young man that won an award. Good evening.
Hi, I'm Nick Winram. I'm one of the directors of Treeability, a local tree surgery business.
Tree surgery? You're a lumberjack.
I am a lumberjack, yes.
Cool.
And I occasionally wear women's clothes.
Do you? Oh, fantastic.
Not too often, though. Yeah, we deal with all aspects of tree surgery, and we also specialise in pest and disease diagnosis and treatment of trees, which is quite a rare and unique side of tree surgery.
Absolutely. Funnily enough, in my garden I have a lot of trees, and I've actually used local tree surgeons for different things in my garden, so you're absolutely right. It isn't just about chopping things down, is it?
No, we love preserving trees,
yeah.
And we have specialist pest and disease knowledge, and we can treat trees, keep them healthy, instead of felling them, which is a really nice option instead of just using the chainsaw.
Fantastic. And what was the award you won?
We won Best New Business, which is a business established within the last 5 years.
So how long have you been going, Nick?
2.5 years.
Wow, okay.
Really honoured to have been nominated by one of our customers and then have won the award.
That's always very pleasing, isn't it, when somebody without a vested interest, as it were, puts you forward for an award and you win it. So many congratulations. If we want to find out more about your business, can we follow you on Twitter or
the website? Yep, Treeability on Twitter or on Facebook, Treeability, all one word. And we have a website as well, so if you just search for Treeability, we'll be there.
You'll be there. Nick, well done. Many congratulations on your award.
Thank you.
And great to hear about another new business.
Thank you. Can I just say thanks to the whole team as well, especially Adam Kay, who's one of our full-time members of staff who works really hard with us.
Absolutely. It's not always an individual effort. It's all about a team, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Nice one. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you.
Rift Accounting. Safety in numbers. RiftAccounting.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk and ChannelRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 22nd of September. That was a couple of award winners from the Seven Oaks Business Show.
He was cracking that tree Nick, surgeon.
Nick the lumberjack.
Yeah. Who dresses up as a woman in his spare time, he said. Sure, he said that.
He did say that.
Did I imagine that?
You do know where that reference is from, do you not?
No.
It's from the Lumberjack song on Monty Python.
Okay, so do they say that they dress up in their spare time?
Exactly. It's I'm a lumberjack, I'm okay. I wish I'd been a girly like my dear papa.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know?
No, I'm a bit young for all that.
Really?
Not as old as you.
You're not. Anyway, yeah. And we've got... coming on the show in a couple of weeks' time, we've got another one of the big winners from the Seven Oaks Business Show.
And what was the pregnancy one? Bun in the Oven?
No, Seven Oaks Mums, and they also had another branch of Seven Oaks Mums, which is called One in the Oven.
One in the Oven.
Bun in the Oven.
Is it Bun in the Oven or One in the Oven?
I think it's One in the Oven.
Have we just rebranded them?
Yeah, quite possibly.
I thought you were being very rude.
I was.
Saying that.
Yeah, I was thinking of you. And I thought, I'll be rude.
My butcher once, about 10 years ago, said, when's your baby due? And I nearly hit him because I wasn't pregnant. That was a bit worrying. I've never been back.
Have you not?
No. For my steaks or anything. I moved to Tankerton. Much better butchers there.
Is that right? I think you can do one email and then we'll talk to our first guest to make this a bit of a more sensible show. What do you reckon?
Nice of you, Paul.
Yeah.
So Get Social Kent, they've got a free open day. It's on Thursday, the 29th of October. So this is the diary day. It's at Canterbury College in the New Dover Road, 9 to 3.30. It's free. I think I've just said that. And it's here's the little website. It's www.kentinvictachamber.co.uk. So that is on the 29th of October, Canterbury College in the New Dover Road, Canterbury. Now, Paul Andrews and I have many a long debate on which is the new Dover Road and which is the old Dover Road. And Paul's not concentrating, but
I am.
Is the cinema, is that the old Dover Road? We do this every week.
No, the cinema's a new Dover Road.
That's new Dover Road.
I tell you this every week.
Yeah. I know, you do. Anyway,
the police station is on the old Dover Road. And okay. The county cricket club is on the old Dover Road.
Yeah. God, the traffic was terrible last week. Did you see my tweets?
Yeah.
I was stuck because, was it Lancashire and someone playing? Kent. Canterbury.
Kent. Obviously.
Lancashire Hot Pot.
What a surprise. What were they doing there?
Yeah. And I've also got something here. It says, hi, Paul and Jules, with you first, me second.
Good.
We can change that. Really enjoying the programme, she says. And it's Sharon Goodyear. And she says, your guests get better and better. Well, she hasn't heard Linda today. She's going to be very exciting. You can now buy, she says, my delicious healthy treat, a date and lemon-baked oat cereal bar with no added sugar at the Whitstable Larder. That's at the Good Shed at Canterbury West Railway Station. So this is Sharon Goodyear, spelt good and then Y-E-R, so like Goodyear. And we can follow her on Twitter at Sharon Goodyear. And also she's on Facebook, which is facebook.com/bar15bar. And she's got a website, which is bar15.info. And I'm going to nip along and sample that because I know my dear friend Kath runs the Whitstable Larder, and I shall go along and see.
Thank you for that. A couple of quick tweets, and then we're going to talk to our first guest. The Thomas Cookie Company, the Thomas Cookie Co. on Twitter has said, hi, Vanilla Web, we're listening to the Business Bunker Show and enjoyed it very much. Thank you very much.
Do they do cookies?
They do indeed.
And nice play.
Also, we've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Venom Tech. Over there.
What's the venom of the week?
Yeah, it's Tuesday, so don't forget it's the Business Bunker Show, and we're listening in. Have a great show, all the folks here at the Venom Tech. So thank you for supporting us.
Yeah, we do want to know what the venom of the week is. I notice there's been a lot of spiders found in people's...
false widows and stuff.
Yeah, I actually bought some bananas from a small shop the other day. It was a Tesco Metro. Mm. And as you know, I like to support local, but that's the only shop we sort of had around to buy bananas at recently. And the guy stopped me buying them because there was a banana nest. There was a spider nest.
All right.
Actually on the bananas. No, all right. What are you talking about? It was a spider nest going to hatch in my house.
Blimey.
So he really saved my life, this guy.
Did he?
Yeah.
Really?
He said, you can't buy them. And they were all like little black...
As if some kind of black widow was surviving a fight with you.
It was quite traumatic,
Anyway, enough of that. I want to talk to our guests. I want to introduce some common sense and some decorum and some sensibility and all kinds of things into this show.
Yes.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show for the very first time the absolutely lovely Linda Garcia of Aluxy Consulting. Linda, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Paul. And good afternoon, Jules, and thank you very much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate the...
We feel like we know you.
Yeah,
we already.
Yeah, so we can be rude
to you. I feel like
you
were talking
about
somebody else. I'm looking around to see who this invited guest is.
Yes, lovely.
Got a lot to live up to.
I tell you what, let's kick off by you telling us a little bit about you, your background, and about a little bit about Aluxy Consulting, and then we'll move on from there.
Okay, thank you. It's Aluxy Consulting.
Sorry, Aluxy.
Well, forgive you, Paul. It's,
where does the name come from?
It's Latin, right. And it means to give or show opportunity or chance, and to throw light on opportunity or chance,
which is the
lux. The clue's in the name. And that is essentially what Aluxy Consulting does. I come from a background, originally a scientific background.
Right.
My first degree was in biology.
Wow.
So I bore the pants off of people talking about organic food and
amoebas.
Amoebas.
Do you know what an amoeba is, Paul?
I do.
That's all we ever learnt about at school.
I'm expecting amoebas. Some really horrendous comment there from Jules.
Then
I spent quite a few years running around London in the environmental consulting world.
Right.
And decided to move into management consultancy because that was the trendy thing to do in the end
Absolutely.
Of the 80s and the 90s. And I thought, yep, if I'm going to get to travel the world for free, that's the way to do it. So that's what got me into the management consulting arena.
Right.
And I was traveling extensively around the world over 12, 13 years.
Right. You spent quite a bit of time in South America as well, did you not?
I spent 9 years in Chile,
right.
Travelling between South America and South Africa.
Now, what is Chile like?
beautiful.
Really?
Absolutely beautiful. It's a country of many themes. You've got the driest desert in the world in the north, in the Atacama, right up to the tropics, and then down to the Tierra del Fuego. I can't even think
she
of it in
it
English
so
now.
Well. Yeah. She says it. Say it again.
Tierra del Fuego.
Yeah, go on, Paul, say it.
Tierra del Fuego.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. 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 In the south, so you've got, and then you've got skiing in the mountains, and then you can get down in the afternoon to the beach because it's such a small, thin country.
Wow.
But, yeah, it's been a long time since we've been over there. But, yeah, I love Chile.
And the food?
It's a beautiful place. Spicy.
Lovely.
Quite interesting, yeah. My husband still makes the Chilean pebre. We have a little bit of pisco sour, which is their national drink, but the Peruvians would argue with that one. I'm going to get into dangerous ground here.
Yeah, no, I'd move on. I'd move on from there before we start another war in South America.
Well, what about industry out there? Is it agricultural or what?
Yeah, the strongest industries are copper mining, obviously, or not. Ironically, salmon farming was starting to grow very strongly in the years that I was down there. They were competing against some of the Scottish salmon producers. Forestry was a big industry that we worked in extensively or consulted to. And, yeah, there, it's a growing region. And the wines, obviously. Get along to the supermarket and buy the Chilean wines.
Yeah,
that's a plug. So, yeah, that was a very interesting part of my life.
And is that where you met your husband?
It is indeed.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Cool. So, moving on from Jules's gossip about food in South America, which is all very interesting, but we want to find out a bit more about what you're doing back here now and your newly launched, recently launched business. How long have you been going?
I launched Aluxi Consulting in January 2014. My mission is to work with business leaders, business owners in optimising the resources that exist in their businesses already. I'm not a jargon person. I try to apply the fundamentals of managing a business, and I work on a very basic principle that if you want to achieve better results in your business, the only resource that you have that's going to influence that is your people.
Right.
And people manage the machines, people manage your systems, people manage your computers. So if you want to get better results, then you need to find some way of generating a behaviour change.
Mm-hmm.
And to generate behaviour change, there's essentially two basic streams that you have to focus on. One are your systems, and I don't necessarily mean computer systems. It doesn't have to be software. And we've published a blog today specifically about what is a management control system or a management system. The other stream is while you're putting in systems and creating structured frameworks for people to work within, you also have to be training people, making them aware of what they should be doing, how they should be doing it, working with them to develop the best way to work, to identify what is the best practice within the organisation and make sure that that best practice is continually applied to achieve better results.
Absolutely.
So hence I am focusing on business performance, but not suggesting capital expenditure or proposing that you go out and buy a whole new load of machinery. I will work with the company using what you've got and making it work to its best capacity.
Absolutely.
And it's, that should generate profitability.
Absolutely. It's really interesting, isn't it? There's a bit of a dilemma going on amongst economists and things like that, which there always is, because in my opinion, economists aren't worth the paper they're written on or whatever. But there's a big dilemma going on in the UK economy at the moment. We have a massive amount of new jobs being created.
Yeah.
And a massive amount of employment opportunities. And normally that means that there's a huge rise in productivity. But all the figures are currently saying that we're very unproductive and nobody kind of understands why, because that's not the normal methodology. And one of my beliefs is that the whole basis of productivity is being measured incorrectly now, because we've moved on to new and different things, and they're still measuring it in an old way. But there is a lot of productivity gains to be made. And there's a lot of leeway in productivity, I feel. And I'd like to get your views on that and what you think about that.
That it's a very pertinent topic, actually. Just last week, I presented at the Base Point in Folkestone.
Yep.
and the subject of my presentation was exactly the taboo around productivity. And what I've identified through researching and looking through the recent publications, interestingly, Mr. Mark Carney of the Bank of England presented the fact that the British economy, we have more hours worked over the last 6 or 7 years during the recession, but productivity has not moved. So, yeah, we're generating lots of jobs, we're getting lots of people employed, but whether those hours are being more productive for the business and for the British economy is questionable.
Absolutely.
Which I found a bit ironic coming from an American, but... And what is also interesting is, and we did get into a big debate at the end of my presentation at the networking event, was the whole work ethic. It's known, we've got a survey from salary.com showing of a group of 750 people, 89% of those people, employees, admitted to wasting time at work. And that ranged from a third of the that group saying that they'd wasted between half an hour to an hour, up to 4%, although it sounds a relatively low number, wasting up to half of their day. Now, that doesn't mean so that they're sitting around doing nothing. The key causes are the inevitables, people sitting at desks have got access to their computers, Facebook, Twitter, all the rest of it. Not that I'm knocking that, but when you're in your workplace, it's not what your employees want you to be doing.
Unless you're tweeting for business.
Unless you're tweeting for business,
but
exactly.
I've seen
and those
that.
People are paid to do that. But then there's also the other end of the spectrum where employees are recognising that, well, we end up in meetings that are completely useless.
Pointless.
Or they're not pointless, thank you, much better word than my useless.
And meetings about meetings?
Exactly. That they've got, you know, weak work colleagues, or they're seeing that they haven't got enough work to do. Now, I do go back to fundamentals, and sorry, Paul, I'm a bit old-fashioned, that I do believe that productivity means you have to give people more work to do. But what the survey is also showing is that people are not feeling challenged and not feeling pushed in their work, so they start to become bored and disinterested, and that is fundamentally a weakness in the way that we are managing. So it's not the employee's problem. If they are not being given enough work to do and they're being paid, you know, their salaries to do a certain job, if they're not being managed effectively, then the company is not going to get the best performance out of those people. So the real weakness, and this is where I work with businesses, is in improving their management skills and getting people to understand what management is.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. I've seen some funny things recently on social media. Because of the amount of cameras there are about everywhere as well, people get caught with this. You see loads of people at work sitting behind a computer screen, and all of a sudden somebody will take a picture and they're actually playing solitaire or some online game or something. And that's where a lot of our productivity has disappeared. You're absolutely right. Because people have access to it, they think, oh, you know, I'll just have a quick break. And before they know it, an hour's gone past and they've been messing around on my computer pretending they work. There's even a program, I don't know if you've seen this, where if your boss walks past, you can hit a key and it throws up a spoof spreadsheet without taking your game away, so that you can pretend to be working. And you're absolutely right, that's where a lot of office-based productivity is going missing.
And there have been calculations to what this is costing British industry, and at the last count it was about £19 billion in lost productivity. Now I've then worked that back to say, if you take this profile of how people are saying they waste their time, I've put in some fictitious numbers, and if you're looking at somebody paid £20,000 a year, which is way under the average salary, if you've got 10 people in your business and they are wasting these levels of time, or the workflows and the work design is not conducive to them being as productive as possible, for a business with 10 employees, that's costing you around £25,000 a year. Now, for some smaller businesses, that could make a massive impact on their profitability.
Absolutely.
And if you've got 100 employees, you've only got to multiply that by 10, and that's £250,000 down down the drain.
Absolutely. So one of the things that your organisation is focusing on is analysing and making suggestions about that productivity and workflow and organisation.
That is the fundamental, that's the starting point of what I can do with businesses, is to identify where the opportunity is, hence the name Alluxi.
Absolutely.
But not only that, I mean, I'm not one of these consultants that just comes along, well, if you just need a report, you can have a report, but I prefer to be able to show the opportunities and give companies solutions as to how that can be overcome and how we can start to get their performance improved, get their productivity up, and take some of that profitability back onto the bottom line.
Linda, what about these companies that that I see a lot of, where people are working 12, 13, 14 hour days, hugely long days, no breaks, no lunches, no you know, it seems to be very common.
Yep.
And there almost seems to be a thing now of almost boasting about how hard you work and that you don't have breaks and you don't have holidays and whatever.
Well, so Linda doesn't have to say this, I'll say it.
I'm not scared.
Yeah, I know you're not. One of the issues here is that there's a load of nonsense talk sometimes. Just because you were at work for 14 hours doesn't mean to say you were working.
That's
for
precisely what
hours.
I'm saying, that people are at their desk for 14 hours, but they cannot possibly, nobody can possibly continue that 5 days a week, you know.
Well, they can't, they can't do anything.
Yeah, and this is where it's also been shown, and I can produce numbers, and I've actually sat and observed the minutiae of what happens in lots of different industry types. I mean, I don't just work in office-based environments. I've worked in manufacturing, in production, in food industry, in a huge variety of industries around the globe. But what you'll find is that if people can be sitting behind their desk or out there in the workplace doing those 60 to 80 hours a week. What studies show is that the effectiveness starts to completely fall off after you've gone past your 40, 50 hours.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, again, that if people are having to work those sort of hours, then who is actually doing the planning of the work and understanding what those people are achieving and helping them to be able to free up hours by doing the work more effectively? That sounds easier said than done, and it is easier said than done. It's a long process to get in and redesign work.
But it's a very important process, though, isn't it?
It's fundamental.
You're absolutely right. You've got people working long hours, achieving very little.
Because you can't sustain
it.
And
we want to do it the other way. One of the key things that is normally missing in those environments, and this is, again, something that I've put a blog out today called What is a Management Control System? And if a good, robust management control system is in place, it would be highlighting the number of hours that are being worked to produce a set level of output.
Yeah.
And managers in a good management control system would have a point of review to understand what is going wrong and to look at the variances and look for solutions to avoid that exact scenario.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was actually in a very busy restaurant a couple of weeks back, and there was a real lack of training with the staff. People were swinging around looking for the bread basket, excuse me, all the usual. And the very young staff were walking past tables, not grabbing dirty things as they went on the way to the kitchen. They were making two or three journeys. And you could just see, if they had someone like you in, just looking at the workflow, just say, you know, when you walk past, grab the empty glasses on your way, bring something back with you, wipe the table, all that sort of
stuff. Which is a very motherly thing to do, isn't it, Jules? That's the sort of thing that you and I would do in the house, naturally, and trying to get that sort of work ethic and logical and common sense stuff, really. But that is one of the most frustrating things, and this is why I enjoy the work so much, is because it's not rocket science. You know, if you want rocket science, pop over to NASA. We don't do it in the workplace. It doesn't need to be that complex.
And yet
complex.
It probably makes a huge difference when you actually point it out to people, because they don't always see it.
But and also, I think this is where there's a bit of controversy around consulting. Sometimes it's good to bring somebody in from the outside, because we will look at things in a very different way to what you've been used to doing. It's the wood for the trees scenario, isn't
it? Absolutely.
And it's sometimes can be a quick fix.
Yeah.
There are other things that will take a bit longer and do require a lot more analysis and in-depth discussion and designing new solutions. And this is where also, even startup businesses or small businesses, it's worthwhile sometimes bringing in somebody like myself who's got the expertise in getting everything right from the start. That will then save you a lot of aggravation further down the line if you've not thought up front about the job design, your structure that you're working towards, whatever your strategy is in that respect.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Having an outside pair of eyes look at something is always an eye-opener.
like the pun. I like the pun.
It always is, because people get trapped into their thinking. Many, many years ago, when I was very, very young and headstrong, I was doing an assignment with an organisation. And I did a presentation to the senior management. And I got one of the same old... I was trying to introduce technology into what they were doing. And I got one of the old long-in-the-tooth senior managers there who said, listen, boy, he said, I've got 30 years' experience of doing this. And I blurted out, with all due respect, none at all, you actually haven't. What you've got is 1 year's experience repeated 30 times.
And, I might use that one. Thank you, Paul.
And you come across that an awful lot.
Yeah.
And it's like the syndrome we just talked about of 14 hours at work being confused with 14 hours working.
Yes.
Which are completely different things. And experience, if you do the same thing over and over again, you haven't got any experience. You've just got a repeated pattern of behaviour.
Yeah.
And that's one of the problems is we all do this. We all get stuck in a rut and do things the way we've always done it.
Yep.
Because it's just easy to do it that way. By bringing in someone like you, an outsider that takes a fresh look at a pair of eyes, and they go, why'd you do that? Well, I don't know. I've always done that.
Yeah.
And so I think change. How do people react, Linda?
Over the years, I've had people reacting in both directions. I think these days, we're back into the 21st century now, and it's starting to become much more accepted that challenging can be a good thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, we've used the word criticism and critiquing. I prefer now to say, but we're just challenging.
Yeah.
I did start to use the term of I'm a critical friend, but people don't like to think of it being as criticism. To me, it's just, well, if there's a possibility to make things better, whichever word you choose to describe that, whether that's change management or challenging or critiquing, it's a take it, let's have a look at it, let's see what can be done. And I think people are very nervous about being seen to have done things wrong in the past. I'm not one to dwell on what's gone before. It's like, there's much more open-mindedness out there now to say, let's have a look and see if there are different ways that we could do things.
Exactly. From my point of view, it's got nothing to do with how well or bad you did something up until 5 minutes ago. It's what are the opportunities in front of you? And as you kind of intimated, more and more people are now getting used to it because the pace of change in the 21st century is so much quicker than it used to be. You can actually see it unfold. So a lot more people are going, do you know what? We need to react.
Yes.
Yeah. And sometimes people react in the wrong way, you know, by just panicking and doing something different for the sake of doing something different, which is not always a good thing either. You know, it is. That's why I come back to this thing about having an outside pair of eyes and a fresh look at what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I know I mentioned this quite a lot, but it was a big eye-opener for us. Back in May, we did a Forging the Future lunch where we talked to a number of business leaders, and some of the things that came out of that are very, very, very apposite. And one of the things that a business leader said, which was a change to the message I'd heard before, is there was a huge consensus that most business owners now thought that they needed a mentor, a coach, a guide. If you'd have asked that question 10 years ago, most people would have gone, I don't need that.
No.
I know what I'm doing. I know how I'm doing it. But the consensus in that room was almost unanimous. No. Nowadays, you need help. You need fresh outside pair of eyes. You need support. No matter how much experience you've got in your industry, you need someone to come along and go, have you thought about this? Have you looked at that? What do you think about this?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's the loneliest job in the world is being the business owner, because you've got nobody above you that you're feeling is pulling through with the, you know, the accountability, the responsibility. And that is where business coaches and business mentors, that is a part of what I do, but it's not the be all and end all.
Yeah.
They are becoming much more helpful out in the industry, because there are, and also there are a lot more business owners out in them. 96,000 new SMEs that have and are self-employed have popped up over the last, is it 5 years? Don't know the stats, don't quote me on that.
We now have 5.2 million businesses in
the UK. There you go. Yeah, and that's where having a business coach or a business mentor gives you somebody to go and have as a sounding board.
Yep.
And that's extremely important. One of the things, as well, Jules mentioned, the change management. There's a lot of questioning these days in the industry as to change portrays something as bad, and it also portrays something that is a process that starts and stops and is over with. I've tried to introduce the idea of an evolutionary process, and hence the ammonite shell in my logo. Mm. It's all part of evolution. Business is an evolution. It doesn't stop. There is no point where the change process should finish. Mm. You've got to be constantly aware of what is going on in your surroundings, and that is what evolution does. And this comes a little bit back from my scientific
absolutely. I'm head. I'm an absolute fanatic about evolution, and I'm also a fanatic, and you might not like this side of it so much, but the whole point of evolution is random selection and survival of the fittest.
Yep.
And you have to understand what that means sometimes, because people get the wrong end of the stick with the survival of the fittest bit. But one of the things that interests me is random selection. Things can happen that you didn't intend to happen, and it's how you react to them that makes the difference.
And that's where you need the creative, the entrepreneurs characters in the organisation.
Absolutely.
Because they do the random, off-the-wall type of things, and a business can't survive without that little bit of creativity.
Mm. Absolutely.
And then you've got to have the doers underneath, the operational, the technical heads, a little
survival.
Bit like me, who will... Yeah, make that work or bring the entrepreneur and creational person round to the idea that, no, that isn't a brilliant idea. Let's tweak it. Let's shape it a bit.
Yeah, so, absolutely. We could talk about this for a long time. But
we could. Let's not get onto the theories of evolution.
Exactly. But we could talk about it a lot, but we've kind of sadly run out of time. Linda, give us a shout for how people can find out more about you, your Twitter handle, your website, that kind of thing.
Yep. The website is Aluxi. Aluxi, for those who are not sure. Aluxi.co.uk. My Twitter hashtag is Aluxi Consults, with an X on the end. Or my business mobile is 07717221368. But all the details are on the website.
Fantastic.
And I can be found on LinkedIn. Just look up Linda Garcia.
Fantastic. Linda, thank you so much for that.
Been a pleasure.
Fascinating talking to you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show.
I will.
But for the moment, Linda Garcia, thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Very interesting. And to find out more, just give Linda a call or go onto her website.
Absolutely.
There's a call to artists. It's Memory, Paul Andrews.
Yeah.
Kent Creative Live is inviting Kent artists to submit their work inspired by the theme Memory. And it's a theme open to creative interpretation. A judging panel will select the works. That's Dominic Gunn, Gallery Gunn, Faye Hackwell, producer at BBC Radio Kent. Some people may have heard of this radio station. David Littleford of Littleford Gallery, Mark Paul Perry of Sea Art Fair. And the exhibition will take place at the Pie Factory in Margate in November.
Wow.
I fancy going to the Pie Factory.
I bet you do.
The submission deadline is 26th of October of this year. And it's £15 to, it's free to submit, and then they say £15 per artwork if you're selected. And you can contact Nathalie Beneig. Bonjour. And her website is www.kentcreativelive.org. Thank you.
We've had a tweet from Daniel San Giuseppe.
Yes, listening like a hawk.
And he said the Abbott Spartan Hotel, which is one of Daniel's hotels, is on the new Dover Road, Jules.
Okay. Well,
there you go.
We kind of knew that. So it's new Dover Road is Abbott Spartan.
Abbott Spartan Hotel.
And that's where the cinema is, I think.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And also there's little St. Christopher's. I used to do their PR many moons ago.
Absolutely. Yep. So, so thank you for that, Daniel. Abbott Spartan Hotel is on your new Dover Road. And just for completeness, Daniel also owns the Burlington Hotel in Folkestone and New York House in Eastbourne.
As I like to call it, Burlington Bertie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he also, of course, has an award-winning chef, Will Britton, who makes a mean gluten-free brownie just for me. And he does a whole plate, Linda. And then everybody else loves them as well, so they all snaffle them.
So you brought a bag along for us then, Jules, didn't you?
No, I must nip in. I must nip in.
Your pairs are going down well on Twitter as well.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, Caroline and Liz, the Riverford Organic and Riverford _Kent. the Organic Sisters, say hi, Vanilla Web. Remember, we deliver pantry goods, organic veg.
Pantry. Oh, sorry.
Goods. Organic veg fruit to homes and offices throughout Kent. We've also had a tweet from F Keys. Vanilla Web, considering Windows 10, call F Keys about their Win 10 and Office 2016 seminar sessions running in Kent. It's a miserly £65 a person.
Miserly.
So do follow F Keys on the Twitter. F Keys, that's the lovely Alex Waterton, who's a certified Microsoft trainer.
Now, he can teach anybody anything, even me. He can see, he's very patient, Linda. He might be good for you to work with sometimes, you know, to bring in if you find that people are stuck with systems.
Yep.
Oh, here
new
we
technology.
Go.
New technology.
If you don't know him already.
Here we go. Flo and Co. have been on. Mariano's been on.
Yeah, moaning about your hair.
No, moaning about you.
Really? Yeah. What have I done now?
He said, it's always lovely to see your pretty face.
Aww.
Mariano, Specsavers, mate. Specsavers.
Should have gone to Specsavers.
You should have gone to Specsavers.
Yeah. Must be all the gin that he's drinking. No, he doesn't drink, actually, when he's at work.
No, he doesn't.
So it must be true.
Exactly. Absolutely. I think you can read one more email, and then we'll go to the mid-show break.
That's very decent of you, Paul Andrews. So take a Talking Trees workshop. Gosh, we had a tree surgeon on. Now we've got this. You know what, tree, the real name for it? What is it? There's a word, arborologist.
Arboratum. An arboratum.
Arborologist.
Yeah. Arbor is Latin for tree. Yeah.
Talking Trees. Hic est puer, I say to you. Talking Trees, if we're talking Latin. Talking Trees Workshop. Arts for community, mental health, well-being. This is a day of interactive, informed and inspired discussion to create a route map for an Arts for Dementia and Arts for Community Mental Health Wellbeing training programme, which is for local artists and for creatives. Now, the date of the event is the 7th of November. It's 10:30 and it ends at 4 p.m. And it's at Age UK in Canterbury, which is in Castle Row, Canterbury, Charlie Tango 1, 2 Quebec, Yellow. a registration
yoga.
A registration fee of £5 per person to cover luncheon, teas and coffees. You need to contact Faye Blair, which is B-L-A-I-R. And again, the website kentcreativearts.co.uk. And you can email Faye Blair at hotmail.com. And there is a telephone number, which is 077-86307-664. And again, that date is Saturday the 7th of November, 12:15. And it's Age UK Canterbury location. Talking Trees Workshop, Arts for Community Mental Health Wellbeing.
Thank you.
Getting fidgety, Linda?
Yeah, am I allowed to mention one thing?
Yeah, of
talking
course.
About events and
amoebas, as we were
referring back to the painting the boobs. One of the charities that's very close to my chest, no pun intended, is Breast Cancer Now. And I'm going to be organising a charity fundraising ball for next May, bit of far in advance. So put all the save May in your diaries, because there'll be a really exciting, glittering, spectacular evening somewhere between Ashford and Maidstone to raise money for that very same cause. So.
Fantastic. Well, as we get nearer the time, give us all the details.
Thank
and
you.
We'll give you a shout out. Yep. Anyway, time for our mid-show break. Here we go.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.